When the guys asked me what my perfect night would be, I told them the truth. Beer and board games. They thought I was kidding. I was not kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 143 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am your host, Eric Walquist, and joining me this week, as he does every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
Jesse the Sleepy Giant Wilson.
Excellent. How's your week, Jesse?
Oh, it was pretty interesting. Went up to Bellingham for a beer festival.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
It went well. There's a lot of drunken college kids there, though, which grew a little tiresome.
Beer festival in a college town? Has a bunch of drunk college kids at it?
I know. It's a surprise, right?
Yeah.
I'm as surprised as you.
Well, I heard that a friend of the show, Mars, was a celebrity beer judge there. Did you see him?
Yeah, he was a celebrity beer judge, and he was also a celebrity breakfast companion the next morning at the... Diamond Gems.
Did you win the raffle, obviously?
Yeah, exactly. It was an auction.
Yeah. The Mars raffle. Oh, 30 seconds to Mars raffle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said. Mars. That's what they said 30 seconds before the Mars raffle. Did you try any good beers?
It wasn't a festival where a lot of breweries brought like special beers. It was kind of standard fare. It was like a charity event. So.
Oh yeah, with the raffle and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. I had an okay week. I'm like kind of sick, but like I'm not sick yet, which is weird. I'm just like exhausted, and I have a little bit of a sniffle.
I think there's a lot of crud going around.
Yeah, I just got the crud, and it's wearing me out. Lydia was sick for like a whole week. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
I think I might be at the beginning of something bad. The dread. But, well, whatever.
So are our listeners.
Yeah. This weekend I went to the Mariners game. I went to Beard Hat Night, which was fun.
Yeah, there were actually a bunch of beard hats at the beer festival.
Oh, well, that makes sense. You know, the cool thing is with those beard hats, you could put two cup holders on the side and then you have a beer hat.
You do. You do have that.
But basically all the beard hat night was these knit hats with like a knit beard on the bottom. And it was also college night. And so I was able to scam them because I still have my college ID and it doesn't have an expiration date on it. So I got $2 pizza.
How long are you going to try and pull that one on her?
I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to try until it stops working. I have my alibi.
Next year.
Yeah. I just say,
What's your alibi?
I'm a grad student and they don't give you a new ID.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
What are they going to say? What are they going to do? Like,
exactly.
Prove it.
Yeah, exactly.
Show me your in-process dissertation.
Exactly. Like, all I have to do is show them. I mean, that's all they do is they check it against your driver's license. So my name is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great. And my picture's pretty faded on there now anyway. So, yeah, whatevs. Next college night's coming up in June. Guess who's getting $2 pizza? No beard hats.
So,
sans beard hats.
How do you feel about the beard hat? Because I think they're pretty cool.
I like it, and it keeps my head warm.
Are you ever going to wear it again?
Probably never. I don't know. It seems like the perfect thing to wear. I was thinking about wearing it to the Magic pre-release that I went to on Saturday, but then I chickened out.
Hide your emotions.
Exactly. Yeah, if I'm ever in like the World Series of Poker... Totally going to wear the beard hat with sunglasses.
See, I don't think that the Mariners are the best team for the beard hat, but maybe like the Giants, because they have that guy with the weird beard.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still on their team. He got injured. Dude, beard hat night is totally for them. Like, we have like pseudo beards. We have like Mike Morse and Dustin Ackley and Kelly Shopik, but nobody's like, oh, the beards. Like, it was just like a weird thing. But the thing about it is, like, it was, like, kind of the first sunny day of the year. And so everybody was wearing like, but it was still cold. So everybody was wearing hoodies, sunglasses, and beards, and knit hats. And so it was kind of just like Unabomber night.
Yeah,
like,
that's a little creepy.
It was super creepy.
Although I don't think the Unabomber had a beard.
That's true. He had like a weird Weird Al mustache.
Yeah.
A fuzz-stash. Yeah. But speaking of beer, what are you drinking?
Oh, I'm drinking something I've never had before, actually. It's Rio's Rampin' Rye Beer from Epic Brewing out of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Not to be confused with Epic Ales out of South Seattle.
Right. And this is part of their Exponential series. Oh. It's a pretty solid rye IPA. I'm enjoying it. It's got a nice mouthfeel, good body, nice head, hopped well, and goes down easy.
Legitimate. Yeah, Lydia was at the grocery store, and so I just was like, hey, pick me up a six-pack. So she was like, oh, this is on sale. I'll get it. And it's actually a winter seasonal, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And what? You did what? Yeah, I know she don't. It's called Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I know you know it's a winter seasonal. I'm sorry. I'm speaking to my wife here. it's called Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It's from Anchor Steam Brewing Company in San Francisco.
Interesting.
And it's like a Belgian winter ale, but like I'm like, hey, a winter ale in May, I like it.
Sounds very good.
Yeah, not too shabby. So if you get a chance to pick this up, vintage 2012, give it a shot. Moving on to dedication for this week. My dedication is actually going to roll right into listener feedback. Cause this week, I think we got the furthest email that we've ever gotten. And so this show is going to go out to James Roberts, who decided to send us an email. Last week we said we don't have any Asian, listeners, and he sent us an email all the way from India, which I'm very excited about. So here is what he had to say. He says, just in case you were wondering, Jesse and Eric, I am one listener who downloads your podcast in India, so I really am one in a billion. Oh, that's so funny. I love that. One in a billion. Actually, I read today on Reddit, it's actually, the census is 1.21 billion in India. And I only remember that number because in Back to the Future, they needed 1.21 gigawatts in order to power
that's
the
true.
Time machine. So,
well.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but it's easy to remember for me. He says, not sure if I qualify to be your Asian phone-a-friend, however, as I am not a dot Indian, I am actually a feather Indian living abroad. I don't know if it's PC, but he's saying it. I'm not saying it.
Yeah, no, you're just reading it.
I'm just reading it. My wife and toddler daughter have lived in India for almost 2 years now, and through whatever probably technically illegal means, I try to keep up with American television and sports shows. Found your cast for Bald Moves Walking Dead podcast, and now you guys are my absolute favorite non-sports related podcast. Weird, since I have no clue about any of the board games or card games you mentioned, and my eyes gloss over when you mention Magic the Gathering. But you guys are hilarious.
Gloss over with excitement.
The sheen, the plus 20 sheen of excitement on your eyeballs. But you guys are hilarious, and after searching for your email address over Bald Move's website, I found your webpage. I must say, Eric, you are not as fat as I pictured you. Doesn't every set of best friends, as you two seem to be, have to have a fat member and a skinny member? See Tommy Boy, Superbad, Batman and Robin, etc.
That's so funny.
It's fun. This is not the first time. Like, I think people think I'm fat.
Yeah, you're not.
I got the fat voice. I think what it is, I have a fat laugh.
Yeah, also you're like 6.5 feet tall.
Right.
So you're not, you're long.
I'm not
you're
small.
You're just not wide.
Yeah, and that's what Lydia said. She's like, you know, you say you're a big guy on the podcast. I am a big guy in like the in the sense that like Mike Morse is a big guy. He's not a fat guy. I don't know. Nothing against fat people. I'm just saying I'm not fat. I think I just have a fat voice.
It's baritone. And you should be proud of it.
But this isn't the first time this has come up. Like when we met, Dan's, who's Dan's girlfriend?
Kayla.
When I met Kayla for the first time, she was like, oh, you're from the podcast? I thought you were like a short fat guy with a beard. Apparently that's what I sound like.
I remember her saying that. Yeah, that's funny.
Anyway, guys, I'm not. I do weigh 200 pounds, but it's stretched out over 6'4". says, don't let my compliments get to your head because it still sucks for you. What's up with the NBA apparently not moving to Seattle now? I feel especially bad about that since I'm from Oklahoma and therefore obliged to be a Thunder fan. Thanks for that team, by the way. Ugh. Thank you. At least you have all those nice little microbrews in Washington to drown your sorrows at, though. Keep up the great work, guys. And phone anytime you roll Asia for your trivia games. Get off my back and get off Dan Patrick's back for his partnership with Red Hook. I never would have heard about the beer without their partnership. We grew up without any of these fancy, trendy beers down south. Natty Light rules. And that is from James Roberts in India.
Well, that's excellent.
Yeah. I appreciate the consolation. And actually, I have another phone call that we got that kind of, you know, we learned this week that the Sonics probably aren't going to be coming back to Seattle, at least this year. And we got a phone call from Rhode Island that actually kind of spells out exactly how I'm feeling.
Hey, guys, it's Josh from Maine calling in. I hope the sounds okay. I'm on my way to work. I just had to call you guys because I feel really bad. I just heard some terrible news. Turns out the Kings are not going to be moving to Seattle. So for the meantime, you are going to be without a basketball team again. And, you know, growing up when I was in junior high and high school, I loved the NBA. And the Sonics and Gary Payton and Sean Kemp was, you know, one of the teams I liked to watch. I had a hat, T-shirt. I loved the logo. And normally I really wouldn't care, but now that I listen to you guys, I feel like I know you guys, and I know how much you guys want the basketball team back, and now you're not going to get it. And I just feel really crappy about it. I also feel crappy that Jesse's favorite player is now a New England Patriot, but don't worry, we'll take care of him in New England, Jesse. We'll love him.
You better.
Anyway, guys, not really feedback, but I just wanted to call and tell you I feel bad. So keep podcasting. You'll get a basketball team. Get off my back.
Get off my back, Josh. Josh is from Maine. He's not from Rhode Island. I didn't mean to offend him.
He could have been calling from Rhode Island.
He could have. Maybe he commutes.
Yeah, you don't know. Does he have a sprinkling of a Canadian accent?
Yeah, he said oot.
He did.
He got a little oot and a boot on his route to work. yeah, it's a bummer. I don't know if you're bummed about it, Jesse, but I'm really bummed that I feel like the league gave the Sonics a broad deal here.
Yeah, I don't really give a fuck, honestly.
It's just like the shittiest thing about it is that, like, David Stern, who's the commissioner of the NBA, is like the worst human being ever, in my opinion, my humble opinion. Because, like, when the Sonics picked up and moved to Oklahoma City, it was like he just kind of rushed that he made sure that deal got rushed through and, like, ready to go. And now we get this guy named Chris Hansen. He's from Seattle. He bought the Sacramento Kings, or he got into an agreement with the Maloofs to buy the Sacramento Kings for $550 million. And he's got a stadium deal done. They're going to build a stadium down in Soto. And this whole deal is ready to go. Then the mayor of Sacramento, like, jumps in, gets an investor to give them not $550 million, less than $550 million. And now the league is going to force the Maloofs to take that offer for less money because they can, so that the Kings can stay in Sacramento and we don't get a team. And when David Stern was interviewed about it, he said, well, you know, we really have to respect a fan base that has supported us for so long. I'm pretty sure the Kings have only been in Sacramento since 1988, and the Sonics were in Seattle for 41 years. It just irks me to no end. Like, the whole thing stinks to high heaven. And I don't understand how – I know I'm going on a rant here, but I don't understand how you can force somebody to take a lower price for an item just because you want to. Like, it's weird to me. It's like they agreed to buy a car, and then this other guy for like $20,000, and then this guy comes along, he's like, well, I'll give you $15,000, and then somebody forces you to take the $15,000 deal. The whole thing stinks. I hate it.
It's all pretty, I don't know. It just seems pretty sleazy, and that's part of the reason I don't really care about NBA.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like that mobbed up ref recently?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I just hear Bill Burr complain about it and how the organization itself isn't really representing the sport of basketball very well.
It's not. I mean, any sport that wants to move people from the 15th largest media market in Seattle to like the 50th in Oklahoma City, and then not, and then keep a team in Sacramento instead of coming up and making a lot more money in a much larger media market, there's the business practices are backwards. And I just think the NBA has really succeeded in a losing one fan. I don't give a shit about the NBA anymore. And even if the Sonics do come back, I don't care. I am not going to root for the NBA.
Welcome to my side. Yeah, just root for, like, college ball. Like, yeah. The Huskies aren't going anywhere.
Well, I kind of wish they would. Anyway, thank you for all your condolences. And if we have fans in Sacramento, you know, I don't hate the Sacramento Kings. I just want them. I want whatever.
I don't know. Let's just focus on the future NHL team, the Seattle Sockeye.
Well, the thing is, they're not going to have a new stadium unless they get an NBA team.
Oh, so no Boeing Fieldhouse?
No Boeing Fieldhouse, which means no NHL.
Well, whatever. Football season's coming up here.
Go Blues.
And, so I'm very excited for my favorite Seahawk, former Seahawk, Leon Washington. There's worse things that could happen than going to play for the Patriots.
Right.
And he's... He's going to be able to keep wearing number 33.
Well, there you go. I mean,
so that gives me a reason to watch the Patriots games.
Well, and I don't hate the Patriots. I know a lot of people hate the Patriots. I know the Bald Move Tower hates the Patriots. But I don't hate the Patriots. I find them very hard to dislike. I even like Bill Belichick.
I like – I don't hate him either. I mean, they were easy to hate for a while because everyone always is like, they're the number one team. They're going to win. But they don't win it anymore.
No, and like
Tom Brady. When's the last time they won a Super Bowl?
The last two Super Bowls that they've been to, they've lost.
Yeah, and I really like their old uniforms, mm-hmm. Pat the Patriot.
Yeah, the dude, the colonial man with scrouching with a football between his legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like everybody hates Tom Brady, but like I find him hard to dislike. Like he's like the Russell Wilson of his era.
Oh. I don't know if I would say that.
Why?
Because he's too much of a show-off.
He was drafted in the sixth round.
No,
you can call him a show-off if you want, but he was drafted in the sixth round. The only reason he got to play was because Drew Bledsoe got hurt. And then he played so well that even when Drew Bledsoe came back, they kept him in to play in his first Super Bowl during the first season where he got regular play, and he won the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, and then he married a supermodel.
I get it, but the last Super Bowl he played in, they did these like photo shoot things, and he was all acting like a model, and it was just weird.
He's a goofball.
No, that's not goofball. that's some serious narcissistic self-loving going on right there.
Oh, I don't know.
I do know.
Yeah, I'm sure that if somebody paid me like millions of dollars to model for them, I wouldn't act like a model. I would be a goofy
dude.
Well,
freaking Eli Manning just kind of stood there.
Dude, Eli Manning is... Eli Manning is a guy that I don't like.
I don't like him either, but when the cameras were on and they were telling Tom Brady to like do a fierce pose, he was more than willing. You know he's was a great practicing actor. With his supermodel girlfriend, wife.
He's just learning.
And then Eli Manning was just like a deer in the headlights. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. And that's the kind of guy I like.
My favorite thing about Eli Manning are all the stupid faces that he makes when he gets sacked. He makes the stupidest faces.
It's like how Austin Powers closes his eyes every time he shoots.
Yeah.
Eli Manning closes his eyes every time he throws a football.
Right. Oh, man. Sports talk.
Mm-hmm. I know.
We did get another phone call. This one's from Texas, and it's from Jake. Here he is.
Hey, guys. It's Jake from Texas. I was calling for a couple of things. One, I think Carcassonne might be good for our Australian friend's 8-year-old birthday, as well as the others that you mentioned. I gave it to my brother Aaron for Christmas, I think, because they have a 7-year-old, and he has taken to it, or six-year-old, and he's taken to it really well. They have a 3-year-old four-year-old who hasn't. He needs help. But I think that's a great game for kids, and it's a lot of fun, and it might be good for engaging a group of 8-year-olds. As well as, we play Treehouse sometimes, and I've I know some kids like those little pyramids, and that might be kind of fun to play, and it's totally cheap and easy to play. Matter of fact, me and some friends used to play Treehouse at the bar waiting for the Portland Timbers game to start when I was living in Portland, which brings me to my next thing, which is I think you guys might want to do, let's do some more soccer talk. I mean, unless you guys are absolute Premier League snobs, which that's fine. I mean, you know, that's who you are. I'm not hating, but, you know, let's get some MLS talk. Let's see if, I mean, if you're going to talk a little bit of sports, you know, let's, I guess, include Jesse and get some soccer talk. You know, as long as it's not too Sounders heavy, I'm happy to talk about the Cascadia Cup, trademark, MLS. But anyway, yeah, love the show. Keep up the good work, and we'll keep listening. Get off my back.
Get off my back, Jake. Yeah, so a couple of things. So Carcassonne, you know, of course, that's a great game. Crunchy, please play that with your kids and let us know how it goes. Treehouse, have you played Treehouse, Jesse?
No, I haven't played Treehouse.
It's I've seen it. It's like these little plastic pyramids, but I've never actually played it before.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I haven't played it either. I'm excited to hear that a six-year-old can play Carcassonne.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I love Carcassonne.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, the base game isn't that hard to understand, and even if you don't know it completely, you still end up scoring points, and you're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And then secondly, Sounders talk. I mean, the Sounders kind of suck this year, but and also, if you want us to talk soccer, we're probably going to talk about the Sounders.
Yeah,
it's kind of what we do on this show is to talk about Seattle sports. We're definitely not going to have Portland Timbers in-depth conversations. But yeah, soccer. I mean, I just got FIFA 2012 and I'm very excited about it because I got to play the Cascadia Cup and it's pretty fun. I mean, having the Sounders in a video game is pretty awesome. And I picked up, FIFA 2012 for like $12 on Amazon used.
Cool.
The only problem is I ran into the dreaded EA, online code. So I can't have any online features because EA's a dick.
Mm.
More like dick A.
Got to pay to play.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, Jesse, let's do a little tiny Matt roll off. We got one more phone call, but I'm actually going to spin that into a topic. So we're each going to roll a 20-sided dice, see who gets to talk first on the cast this week. And here we go.
Oh, no.
What'd you roll?
You're king of the cast.
You rolled a one?
I rolled a one.
Dude, I rolled a three.
Oh, no. That makes it that's worse.
Right. King of the cast. Okay.
At least it wasn't a two. If you'd rolled a two, that would be hilarious.
That would be awesome, actually. All right. So for my first topic, I'm going to talk about some things that I read on Reddit.
Tusked whales. Narwhals. The unicorns of the sea.
Extra, extra. Reddit on Reddit. Reddit on Reddit.
That's the way it is.
Well, in my opinion, this week, Reddit was on fire. They were on fire over at Ask Reddit. I feel like they had some really good Ask Reddit questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to run through a few of these, get a few community answers, and then, of course, we'll pose them to ourselves here on the cast. So the first one, this is a little morbid, but it's also interesting to think about. It's if everyone above the age of 5 disappeared without a trace, how do you think the children would handle it?
Wow, I don't know.
Apparently, there's a TV series called Jeremiah based on a similar premise, which ran for 2 seasons,
mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
How'd that go?
I don't know. Ran for 2 seasons. Got picked up and then got promptly dropped. Just like me when I was a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these things are like, obviously, like everybody who's like 1 and 2 would probably die instantly. Unless they had like really good caretaking, 5-year-old siblings.
Yeah, that'd be pretty tough.
Yeah. The funny thing that I thought was interesting is one of the top answers on here is that all of the intellectuals would take over.
What?
Which I don't think is true. Because,
What 5-year-olds are they hanging out with?
I don't know.
There's no such thing as a 5-year-old intellectual.
They're saying all of the gifted and smart people would take over.
I think you have a pretty skewed perception of world history.
Yeah.
Because let's not rule out, you know, the strong, the big and strong exactly. and tough kids.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how your playground rolled.
Exactly.
Mine was not dominated by the smart kids.
Exactly. Like, I think basically the big kids would pound and then there'd be some kind of tribal structure built.
Uh-huh.
There's just so many interesting things. I mean, first of all, I feel like the 2-year-olds would have some kind of advantage because they're all terrible.
That's true.
They got
it's
the
like
terrible,
Ivan
too.
The terrible.
Yeah. They'd be the Ivans of their era. But the funny thing is, you know, so obviously there'd be mass die-offs of these kids.
Like my daughter.
Well, I didn't mean to bring it down like that. I mean, basically it would, and all of the infrastructure would decline, right?
Infrastructure?
The infrastructure would be replaced by the infant structure. And so you basically go back to a tribal system, and there'd be some, I think a lot, most people would die off, and then you'd have small tribes that would come up together. There's a lot of weird things to think about, though. Like, when they reach puberty, like, they're all going to have no idea what's going on. They're going to freak out.
You think so?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Don't you need adults to tell you what's happening to your body as it changes?
No, you can handle that stuff. You just figure it out.
You just figure it out.
It's
I know.
Not like I listened to any of the adults when I was at that age. Sure, they told me stuff, but...
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, when you're in sex ed, you're kind of like, hey, I know all this stuff already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put your wee-wee in the vee-vee, and then you go pee-pee, and that's how babies are made. I already learned this.
But that's the thing, is like, there would be... You'd be basically hitting restart on the entire civilization, and I think life expectancy would dramatically drop.
Yeah.
Like... You probably go back to Middle Ages times where, like, if you lived till 30, you were an old man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically just hitting the restart button on civilization.
Yeah, I think it'd be a pretty bad time. It'd be like another civilization growing up in the crumbling ruins of our world.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, our civilizations were presumably organically grown so that... technology and stuff was there. They weren't necessarily growing up in ruins, but these kids would grow up in ruins.
Yeah, like, I think it'd be a more interesting question if, like, everyone under or over 12 died. Because then you have some people who are young adults
right.
before, you know, this mass extinction event who know, like, understand what the United States is and what it's supposed to stand for, and then it'd be interesting to see if they, like, tried to reform it.
Yeah.
Off of this idealized version of what it once was or something.
Well, that's the weird thing is, like, if you're 5 years old, like, you're not going to have any true memory of, like, what's happening or what happened before. So, like, I'm sure a lot of, like, obscure religions would pop up that were based off of, like, the technology of, like, where are all these things from? Like, who made these hard roads?
The Church of iPad.
Exactly. Yeah, somebody's going to fight an iPad and they'll immediately become king.
Except for the strong kid
who
stands on it. Where's your iPad now?
Yeah.
They'd probably, I don't know, do you think, because five-year-old kids have a grasp of language. It'd be kind of cool to see, like, which directions languages go, if new ones are formed, or if, you know, how much would English, you know, hold on?
Well, that all depends, too, on what pockets survive. Like, where do these pockets of kids survive? Because you got to think, like, kids in the Midwest are screwed because they're going to freeze in the wintertime. Like, I know we had sedentary tribes up here in Washington, but I don't know if that'll be, like, a good thing. Like, realistically, you think the people who would survive would be, like, in tropical climates where, like, you can get fruit off of trees and stuff and it doesn't get that cold.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be tough even here in Washington, which is pretty mild.
Oh, yeah. Like, so you think, like, you know, like Spanish might survive on some level or, you know, like what Swahili or something. I don't know. Depends on what pockets survive.
Right.
I do like this answer. This says, people are underestimating today's five-year-olds. I have one. I'll tell you exactly what would happen. There would be a shitload of Lego Batman 2 being played. More cheese strings would be consumed in one afternoon than the entire history of cheese. The downside would be that Turf Wars would inevitably pop up in defense of any remaining cheese strings. Yeah, shit might get ugly for a bit, but it would have to be done. Gangnam Style would be played on a continuous loop. This would bother no one left alive. SpongeBob would become the de facto leader of the entire... Yeah, like, you'd have, like, the SpongeBob religion.
Uh-huh.
Like, it'd be, like, some guy had, like, a vague vision that he remembers. And he'd create, like, the SpongeBob religion, and SpongeBob would become the new Jesus.
Yeah, you could write a book about him.
Yeah, and his disciples, Patrick and Squidward. And then everybody...
Well, at least he would be... that new religion would be pro-contraceptive. As long as it's the sponge.
Exactly. Oh, good one. Yeah, I just love the idea that, like, in generations to come, people will name their kids, like, SpongeBob and Squidward.
Like, Squidward. They're named
Peter and John, and, yeah.
I do find it weird that in English-speaking culture, no one's named Jesus.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's just weird because, like, in Islamic countries, there's tons of people named Muhammad. In Spanish culture, or in Spanish-speaking countries, in Latin culture... There's a ton of people named Jesus.
Yeah, but why not in... I mean, what's the deal?
I don't know. Because, like, every other name is up for... Like, Matthew, Peter, John, mm-hmm. James. Those are all biblical names.
God.
it's pronounced Jod. let's see. There would be motherfucking Lego pieces everywhere.
Just Legos in both answers.
You should be glad you're not around anymore to step on all of them. All goldfish and other small plants would be dead within a week, and batteries would be the most important commodity in the world. The kid holding the most double A's would rule the planet. That's actually good. That's actually a good thought.
Back away from the double A's.
All right, we got some more Ask Reddit questions. This one I really like. It's, if all animals were the same size, which one would win a tournament-style fight to the death contest? And there's some rules here. It says, consider two different tournaments, or maybe sides of a bracket, land animals and water-dwelling animals. For the size of the animal, let's decide on two apex predators. For land animals, would be scaled up or down to a tiger, 11 feet, 670 pounds. I think those are like Siberian tigers. Water-dwelling animals would be scaled up or down to the size of a great white shark, 20 feet and 5,000 pounds. And birds would be 7.5 feet wingspan and 14 pounds, about the size of a bald eagle. Mm. So everybody went insect on this, and I think that that's an obvious choice. I mean, like, I couldn't imagine anything more terrifying than a tiger-sized scorpion. That just freaks me out.
Well, that did used to be a thing on Earth.
Are you serious?
There were giant underwater scorpions.
Oh, don't even say that.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. I mean, those billions of years ago.
But the bottom of the ocean.
That's a good point. James Cameron. Get back down there with the flashlight this time.
Apparently, there was a Today I Learned that said dragonflies have a 90% kill percentage. 11-foot dragonfly would be terrifying.
What are they killing?
They kill, like, little bugs. They're carnivores. Yeah. There's one guy that said a hummingbird, but the problem with hummingbird is calorie consumption. Like, the hummingbird would literally have to eat, like, 16 gallons of honey a day in order to have enough energy to flap his wings.
It just has to win this one fight.
That's true. But an answer that I really liked was poisonous tree frogs. Because, like, they would basically instantly kill anyone with their toxin. But then somebody was saying that if a tiger ripped off its head and it died before the tiger died of poison damage, would the tiger win?
That's a draw.
Yeah, that's tough to do in a bracket, though. I imagine you have numerous of the species, and if one of them drops out, then you could put another one in.
What about snapping tortoise?
Yeah, snapping turtle, that's one that freaks me out. Because, like, those jaws are insane.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of power there, and it's got that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's got the speed, necessarily.
But it's got defense. Don't need speed. Offense and defense. There's another one on here, and this is based off of a TIL that happened a little while ago. It's the mantis shrimp. And I believe, yeah, the mantis shrimp, not only can it see like 24 different colors, but the mantis shrimp can also shoot its legs out. The way that it catches prey is it shoots its legs out super fast and then stuns them and then eats them. And its legs actually go as fast as a bullet leaving a gun. So if that thing was the size of a tiger, it could like instantly knock out anything that came in its way.
Yeah, what it does come down to is speed.
Yeah.
If there's something like that, it's just going to kind of blow anything away because it moves so fast.
Right. But the thing is, like, if you have something that's less dependent on bones or internal organs, like a 5,000-pound Irukandji jellyfish, then all of a sudden I think that's your winner. That's the Gargomozoa. Because it doesn't give a shit. I don't think it cares about poison. It doesn't care about getting punched. It'll just instantly... if it's like, Irukandji themselves are, like, microscopic. Like, they're tiny, tiny little guys. They're, like... And if they were 5,000 pounds, their stingers would be ridiculous. Like, it would basically be, like, just carrying lethal damage with you, and there's no way you could deal any damage back.
Yeah. What about, like, a one-celled organism that doesn't... really have any vulnerability?
Yeah, somebody asked that question, but nobody came up with a good answer. I mean, an amoeba, maybe.
I give it to the yeast cell.
Why?
I don't know.
It'll just turn you into CO2 and alcohol.
It'll tear you right apart to your basic two components.
Yeah.
At least for me, those are my two components.
Yeah, I think the Irukandji gets it for me. Because that thing is, like, I think I fear an Irukandji more than just about any other animal on the planet.
I don't know what that is.
It's the box jellyfish from Australia.
Oh, okay.
And, like, apparently if they sting you and you don't die, you're in excruciating pain for, like, weeks. I saw a Discovery Channel special about it, and one of the people on the documentary crew got stung, and she was literally paralyzed for, like, 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm giving it to the Irukandji.
What? They have 1 meter long tentacles.
Oh, those are the big box jellyfish. The Irukandji are a box jellyfish, but they're, like, tiny. They're little
guys. But, I mean, it's got, like, super long tentacles, but it's just a tiny little thing.
Oh, good. It's even more terrifying now.
I don't know. Ooh. I could be wrong here.
And then the final Ask Reddit that I wanted to touch was, based on the nature of their character, which Muppet would have the highest probable factor of successfully assassinating Hitler? Which I really love. And it's just like a bunch of great.
I would say Gonzo.
See, Gonzo would do it, but he'd do it by accident.
Yeah, I know. He would actually be like Hitler's bodyguard.
Yeah.
But then accidentally kill Hitler.
Right. It would just be completely unintentional. I do love Beaker, you know.
Good answer. Well, Bunsen.
Yeah, both Bunsen and Beaker are good because, you know, the Nazis had like a very vibrant scientific program, and you think they could get close to Hitler, and then just knock him out with a poison or something.
Yeah, just put it in his dinner or whatever, his strudel.
Well, he did have somebody test his food for poison, though.
Well, you know.
So he'd have to get, like, they'd have to poison his mustache comb.
Yeah, that always does the trick.
Another one is, this is an answer. It says, you'd have to get in his inner circle. This would need to be clandestine. He loved dogs. The answer is Ralph.
Oh, Ralph could definitely get there.
Right.
I'm thinking the Swedish chef, because he's Aryan. He could get close.
Well, that's the thing, Swedish chef. There's a few things with Swedish chef. First of all, he's from Sweden, so he's neutral.
Neutral collaborator, whatever you want to call it.
He also is great with knives.
That's true.
And yeah, he's very unsuspecting.
Mm-hmm.
Chirby derba.
Chirby derba. Oh, you're dead. Derba derba.
I do also love this Stater and Waldorf, because they're the critics. They have a great vantage point. And then they say some snarky bullshit afterwards.
Yeah. They're more your knocking out Abraham Lincoln types.
Oh, God. And then finally, there's of course, the eagle.
Oh, right. Well, what about Animal?
See, Animal's just, like, too chaotic. I feel like he wouldn't get anywhere close.
Yeah.
He'd be, like, outside the gates and he'd get shot down.
Oh, that made me really sad.
I know. Animal! And then just... No! Ah, don't let me die! I'm sorry. I mean, Sam the Eagle would be good, but he'd probably be like, you know, the general. He'd be the one laying out the plans for this. I think that they need to make this. There was
Hitler's getaway was the Eagle's Nest.
Well, there you go.
So he's got home field advantage. I'm still giving it to Gonzo, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, okay, the eagle lays it all out. There's some plan. You send Animal as a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then, Animal's like, just, like, totally he's dispensable.
When Animal gets taken down and everyone's distracted, then Bunsen and Baker, you know, slip the poison. But then his food taster eats it, gets... Gonzo's the food taster.
There you go.
But he's like, no, I don't like fish or whatever. Uh-huh. And then gives it to Hitler and pretends that he did taste it. It's like, yeah, it's really good. Yeah, yeah. And then Hitler dies.
Yep.
Wah, 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 wah.
And then Kermit the Frog pops in.
Uh-huh. And then he's the medic, like, trying to stop the bleeding on Animal.
Why? I can't.
Why? I won't let you die on me.
Don't die on me.
I didn't give you permission to die.
I think that they need to make Inglourious Muppets. This needs to be a thing.
I love it.
Anyway, so that's Ask Reddit for that's the Reddit on Reddit. These are stimulating conversations that you can have with your friends or just listen to us talk about. Jesse, what's your first topic?
Well, there's been some creepy news in the world of science.
Oh.
How much would you pay for the universe?
Now, there's two kinds of volcanoes. Some that ooze molten rock, and others that explode.
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs... Is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Is it survival more important or sex?
They have discovered what they call zombie worms that drill into our friend's whale's bones with acid.
Uh-huh.
So they're these worm-like things. I'm not sure why they're called worms, but they're calling them worms.
Uh-huh.
They don't have mouths or intestines or anything. Mm-hmm. But they're, like, saturating the bones of whales and using them for food and shelter.
Oh, so they're parasitic.
Yeah. And they were calling them bone-drilling worms, but really they're bone-dissolving worms because they just kind of get up in your bones and melt them.
They're osteoporosis worms.
Yeah, that's not good. You need to drink your milk.
Exactly.
So they are apparently on the side of the squid, giant squid.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to knock out the defenders of the deep.
Yeah, the heroes of our lives.
Yeah, so...
The mighty whale.
That's the first one, is zombie bone-eating
so
worms.
So can you... I can't envision something that doesn't have a mouth or intestines.
Yeah, I really don't know. I guess, like, they're... Closest relative coming from the Ozodax genus is they live in, like, deep sea hydrothermal vents.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And rely on different set of bacteria to allow them to survive. So
I
don't know.
It just freaks me out because, like, you know, like I said, we're still exploring the oceans, and the fact that there are things in the ocean that kind of defy the idea of what an animal is, I think like this is like along those lines, you know, and like there are these jellyfish that are perceived to be immortal, that they can just live forever. And then, you know, there's like this like green algae that also is presumably immortal. Like if it loses its nutrients, it just goes into hibernation until it can find nutrients again. Freaky shit. And I think this goes right along with that.
Yeah, it kind of defies our perception of what life is.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a whole thing of like, yeah, a plant's alive, but it just blows my mind.
It's going to be alive forever. So the next one is researchers discover why shark embryos cannibalize each other.
Mm.
So you've heard, I actually thought it was a myth that tiger shark embryos eat each other in utero.
Uh-huh.
And they've discovered that the longer this process goes on and the embryos are eating each other, the fewer fathers to those shark babies there are. So what it is that the shark babies that are eating each other are ones that come from different fathers.
Oh, wow.
So the mama shark's like impregnated by several daddy sharks.
Mm-hmm. It's like a cat.
And then those the fetus baby sharks in the eggs or whatever are eating each other, trying to kill each other because they have different fathers.
Welcome to Thunder Womb.
Yeah, exactly. Thunder Womb. And the quote here is, this is coming from Chapman, who was on this, he's a study co-author.
Mm-hmm.
From the University of New York, who's studying this. His quote is, "It's exactly the same sort of DNA testing that you might see on Maury Povich to figure out how many dads there are."
Absolutely not.
Well, they use DNA testing to test the paternity of the shark babies.
They sent it to the lab, and then they brought the scientists on to Maury.
The results are coming up next.
So which scientist is right? This is interesting because this is like, you know, lions do this. When there's a new alpha lion that enters the pride, he kills all the cubs from the previous alpha.
Oh, really?
But he does himself. And it makes genetic sense because presumably that alpha male comes in and then defeats the old alpha male and then starts his own bloodline because he is supposed to be the strongest alpha male that's available.
And he could be challenged by those other cubs when they grow up in a couple years.
Yeah, that's true too. But the main thing is it's thought that it's preserving that bloodline.
Right. That makes sense. Kill all these weak.
Right.
These wusses. This wuss offspring.
It makes genetic sense, but it doesn't make a lot of because whatever.
Well, I've heard that they didn't understand why horses kept having sex after like the mare was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
But they believe it's so like none of the dads are sure who the baby belongs to, because like I guess like if a baby horse goes up to a male horse and it's not that horse's son, it'll like attack it.
Weird.
So the mom keeps like has as much sex as possible with all the different horses so that no one's sure, and none of the jerk adult male horses will try and kill her baby. Weird.
It just like animals I just read this NPR article about how animals mourn, and it's like it blows my mind. Like animals are so weird. How they do things that are thought to be strictly human. But like just to have the idea that like horses are just standing around. They're like, "Well, I had sex with her." "Yeah, me too, man." It's like, "Well, I don't know who the dad is." And so then they're like, "Oh, we better leave the baby alone." It's just so weird.
I was
going to
kill it, but it could be mine. Or it could be yours. Or Steve's. Steve the horse.
Yeah, Steve. Anyway.
And then the final piece of creepy science news. Staying on the subject of cannibalism, but leaving the animal kingdom as it pertains to non-humans, they discovered a 14-year-old girl's bones at the site of the Jamestown colony back from 1609.
Uh-huh.
that indicate cannibalism.
Oh.
So basically, it's been confirmed that during that horrible winter of 1609, 1610,
mm-hmm.
when basically everyone at that colony was being killed by starvation, they resorted to cannibalism. But they do believe she was dead before they started
natural
eating
means.
Her brains.
Yeah, basically like a Donner Party situation.
Yeah, except for Donner Party is a little more suspect.
But I mean, presumably they just ate the, or like that plane that went down in the Alps or Andes. Mm. Like they just eat the dead people.
Yeah. So, cannibalism, not just for shark babies anymore.
Dude, it must have been the worst to be a pilgrim.
Dude, it would have sucked so bad. I love that. I was just reading up this article and they had a little, sort of like semi history of, Jamestown, and they're like, they settled there because there were no local Indians around, so they thought that'd be a good place. But it turns out there were no Indians around because it was horrible for agriculture.
Because no one could survive there.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great call.
I just would like hate to be – I'm just like imagining the wife of like this gung-ho pilgrim guy. And she's just, like, miserable because this guy's dragging her across the – first of all, you got to make the voyage across the Atlantic.
Make that one-way trip across the Atlantic.
And then you just show up and there's nothing. And then you're, like – and then you can't plan anything and then your kids die and you have to eat them for winter. It's just, like, the worst idea.
Yeah, people had it pretty rough back then. I mean, like, the Oregon Trail was rough, too.
Oh, man, the Oregon Trail. It's just – but the thing about all of this is that it was just done by some stupid dad who was, like, too cocky.
We'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
They won't let us practice our religion exactly how we want. Pack your bags.
Come on. It'll be fine. We'll stop in Utah. We'll take a picture at the arches.
You can see God when you're in heaven in 6 weeks.
It just is like dumb, like being like, oh, look at these giant salt flats. Let's cross them.
Yeah. Well, only one way to get across them.
Just
right down the middle. Yeah. Damn it.
Dad.
Let's go north. No.
Nope.
We're going west, and that's it.
I will turn this wagon around.
No, you won't. That would be great if you did. But I know you won't.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Rough justice. Science news.
Yep, so that's it for creepy science.
All right, well, let's move on to some creepy trivia. What do you say?
Let's do it.
We're going to be doing some world domination again. So I'm going to roll a six-sided die to see which category we'll do. And I rolled a six. This is miscellaneous wild card.
All right.
Are you ready, Jesse?
Because there's not six continents.
There's the Antarctica one was just really short. This question is for you, Jesse, and please play along at home. This teak tree is native. Oh, I'm sorry. The teak tree is native to which continent?
Asia.
I'm gonna go South America. Asia, you got it.
I just picked the biggest one.
This one's for me. Which country's island include Guadalcanal? Guadalcanal, I believe, isn't it Nicaragua?
It's a country?
Yeah.
I thought Guadalcanal. I want to say the Solomon Islands.
You got it. Oh, of course. Guadalcanal is in World War II.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, like, the drug wars of the late 80s. I don't know what I was thinking.
You're thinking of Guadalajara.
Gosh. Yeah, Guadalcanal, World War II. You got it, dude. That's great. Great job. This question is for you. Where would you see the Dow Jones Index?
On TV? I don't know. New York City?
Yeah, the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
Wall Street. I'm not giving it to you.
What? That was a stupid question.
That was a dumb question. Well, this is Australia, dude, so they don't know that everybody knows that.
Oh, okay.
It's an Australian game. Okay, here we go.
I wasn't thinking like an Australian.
What is the correct name for the human windpipe? I believe it's the trachea, but I do not know why this question is in here.
Everything else is geography.
Except for that.
I don't know. Larynx?
Yeah, it's the trachea. I got it.
All right.
I don't understand. Like, before we had, like, Europe, and then they asked we had the United States, and then they asked a Harry Potter question.
Yeah.
World domination is just crazy. I love this game.
That's war, baby. That's the chaos of war.
Did I tell you how Brad Omen got this game?
Yeah.
Like, he basically just went to an Australian game store and was like, what game? I would love to buy a game. What games do you have? And he thinks that the guy just pawned it off on him because nobody wanted to buy it.
Yeah, he's like, can I get a game that I can only get in Australia? That's right. What he wanted. Yeah. So I was like, you'll only find this one here because it's a piece of crap. But
it actually became a treasure and used weekly on the Bristol Arrogance podcast. All right, let's move on. My second topic this week is going to be about beer. So a couple things. First of all, we did get a phone call this week from our good buddy in Pennsylvania. So we're going to start off with that one.
Hey, guys, it's JR from Philly. This week I thought I'd build off of the hipster topic from the other week. There is a little craft brewery by us called Pirate Hands Brewing Company. They have a lot of great saisons, but all of their beers are named after hipstery music-related lyrics, like "Everything was beautiful and nothing hurt," which I think is a Kurt Vonnegut thing, and apparently he is somebody that is important to hipsters. Or "My Briefcase Says Time Is Money." That's an American Black Ale. "The Everyday Complications of Modern Human Life" is a rye beer. "The light that spills out of the hole in your head" is an American Pale Ale. So they have a bunch of crazy beer names. I'm not a hipster, but I love their beer, and I love their candied bacon appetizer that they have there, which is awesome. But I thought about it. So what theme would you adopt to name the beers in your own brewery? Would you go comic books? Would you go with a particular video game with a theme to name your beers? So, see what you guys think about that. Get off my back. We'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Get off my back, JR.
Get off my back.
So, I was looking on this Tired Hands Brewing Company. It actually looks pretty cool, and I know you're a big fan of Saisons.
I love Saisons, yes.
So, I'm pretty sure all of these are Kurt Vonnegut references.
Oh, cool.
And JR, I'm just letting you know, buddy, Kurt Vonnegut's not necessarily just a hipster thing.
Yeah, I hope not.
I would say more nerdy than hipstery.
Well.
He's a pseudo-science fiction writer.
Yeah, he's a sci-fi writer. But, I don't know.
With, like, political satire mixed in. Right. World
and
War II veteran.
Satire.
Yeah, social. The great thing is, I'm on their website here, they actually have a beer called the Tralfamadorian.
Nice.
Which I think is awesome.
Yeah, that's a Cat's Cradle.
Yeah, it's actually also in Sirens of Titan, but in both of them, the Tralfamadorians are this alien race from the planet Tralfamador, and they're like the go-to alien race for Kurt Vonnegut. Yeah, they need a Bokanonism beer with Bokamaru. Anyway, yeah, if it's pretty nerdy. I think Kurt Vonnegut's more of a nerd guy. And I would, it's getting up to be summertime. If anybody needs summer reading, please check out Kurt Vonnegut. Those books go down easy, and they're really good. But I know you love Saisons, and Tired Hand sounds like a cool place. But Jesse, to the question at hand, if you had to theme your brewery, what would your theme be?
Well, I almost don't want to say.
I know. Don't say what you're actually thinking about.
Yeah, I don't want to put that out in the ether. So yeah. I'm just going to say I'm going to do Cat Fancy Magazine, the brewery. And it's all about foo-foo cat breeds.
I'm with you.
And, you know, you got your, I don't know any cat breeds.
Well, let's just, We get the Siamese brew.
You got the Siamese.
The Siamese
that's
brew.
That's your double.
You got the Russian blue brew.
Uh huh.
That's like you your imperial Russian ale.
Your Maine Coon. John Cougar Mellencamp
right.
style. You know, summer.
You got your Bengal Belgian.
Well, what about you?
The great thing here is that
around with a better answer.
If you type in cat breeds into Google, there's literally just a scrolling thing that goes to the top of the page that's just cat breeds, like all of them.
That's handy.
You got Munchkin, Siberian, Norwegian Forest Cat, Burmese,
what?
Manx.
What's a Norwegian Forest Cat?
Oh, we're going there. This is better than the Kevin Costner filmology.
Only slightly.
Norwegian Forest Cat is a breed of domestic cat native to Northern Europe. This natural breed is adapted to very cold climate with a top coat of glossy, long, water-shedding hairs and woolly undercoat for insulation. Although it is uncertain, the breed's ancestors may have been a landrace of short-haired cats brought to Norway by the Vikings around 1000 AD, who may also have brought with them long-haired cats like those ancestral to the modern Siberian and Turkish Angora breeds.
That looks like a piece of shit cat.
Dude, this cat sounds awesome. What are you talking about?
It looks like the type of cat that ruins your life if you buy one.
I'm pretty sure like these cats can just – they're basically wild cats.
Yeah.
Like they don't
That's
give,
not good.
They don't give a shit. These are like the honey badgers of cats.
That would have been an interesting Viking trip back home, the one that's filled with cats.
Dude.
Jorgensen, we need to throw these cats overboard. They're driving me crazy. I think I'm allergic.
We can't throw them overboard. Then they'll just jump back into the boat. Cats can't swim.
My eyes are like swelling up.
Cats can't swim, Jorn.
That's, they'll learn.
Apparently during World War...
It was either cats or babes, and you chose cats, and I'm actually starting to wonder why I let you come up with that decision.
Apparently during World War II, the breed became nearly extinct until efforts by the Norwegian Forest Cat Club helped the breed by creating an official breeding program.
Now, that's a patch I want for my messenger bag.
Yeah, yeah.
Norwegian Forest Cat Club.
So what kind of beer would be a Norwegian Forest Cat beer?
Well, you'd definitely have to use, like, pine tips.
Uh-huh.
It might be a mead, you know?
Oh, yeah.
A mead with pine tips.
I love it.
Yeah. So there you go.
You know, my favorite band, and I think I've said this on here before, is Death Cab for Cutie.
Death Cat?
No, this is that we're talking about beer.
Uh-huh.
Death Cat for Snooty. Actually, this is the whole thing. Is like I've always had this pipe dream of starting a Death Cat for Cutie cover band called Meth Lab for Snooty. but I would love to just have a brewery, and it could be here in Seattle, and Death Cab is a Seattle band, and we could just name all of our beers after Death Cab songs.
Mm.
The ironic thing about that is that Death Cab for Cutie was actually named after a song themselves.
Oh, so it's a brewery named after a band named
after
a song.
After a song, yes.
So, what are some good song titles that work for beer?
You could have like Narrow Stairs Pilsner.
Yeah, yeah, I like it.
Pretty inventive. You know, when I was at the Strange Brew Fest up in Port Townsend, they had a Cabernet beer, which could be your Grapevine Fires beer, made with Grapevine Fire hops.
There you go.
I don't know. I just want a Death Cab beer.
I like it. Maybe you could get a Ben Gibbard to bankroll the whole thing.
There you go. Death. What would it be? Death Cab for the Hoppy.
Call a cab, you're drunky.
Call a cab, you're drunky. I like it.
Thank you.
So anyway, I'm sure these were the type of quality answers you were waiting for, JR. we do have one more question.
A Halo one. What about a Halo brewery?
Oh, yeah, totally. Master Chief Hefeweizen.
Yeah, double kill, double IPA.
Yep.
Yeah, you could have the double kill, the triple kill.
Oh, yeah.
The overkill would be your quad.
I love it. You could have the Covenant Imperial.
Yeah, that's great. Headshot Saison.
Mm-hmm.
Or Headshot Hefeweizen.
The Flood Session Ale.
Mmm, the flood
your mouth with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, I think Halo works.
Yeah.
Da 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 da.
Wheel man non-alcoholic beverage.
I love that. Tail Gunner Imperial.
Yeah.
And then we got one more beer related question. This one comes from Chris Baker, who asks us, what are the top five Washington craft breweries? He says Elysian sounds pretty good.
Elysian is doing good stuff. It's hard to just come up with a list of five.
Of like the five best.
There's so many breweries doing, you know, different stuff. That's no better or worse.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because I feel like when I think about Oregon, like, I think Rogue Brewery is probably the best brewery in Oregon, in my opinion.
I would definitely disagree with you.
Well, that's your problem. And then when I think about California, like, there's a couple that stand out. But, like, obviously Stone does amazing stuff.
Yeah, Stone, Pelican.
Yeah. Even Sierra Nevada for being what they are.
Yeah.
They do what they do pretty well.
Well, who does what they do the best? Let's not just say the best.
Uh-huh.
Who is the best at doing what they do? Because I feel like Red Hook does Red Hook really well.
Red Hook does Red Hook really well, and I think that they do a good job of being balanced and innovative. Like, balanced and innovative. Like, they do some new stuff, but then they also have their old favorites. The problem is, I don't know if they're, like, their spring seasonals are, like, the best, or, like, nothing really excites me a whole bunch about Red Hook. I do like the new Audible Ale, but, like...
See, they're not an exciter.
Right.
They're a standby. They're, you know, you can go to any gas station in Washington, and at least there'll be a six-pack of Red Hook, ESB. Right.
And I'm not a huge fan of ESB in general.
Right. Well, it's a kind of a made-up style anyway. It doesn't really mean anything.
Right. But then like, a place...
Elysian is definitely up there.
Yeah, I think Elysian is up there. I think that, you know, Pyramid is a brewery that, like, I'm not a big fan of their standbys, but I love their seasonals.
So they're like the opposite
of
Red Hook.
Red Hook.
They're the inverse.
Exactly. But then you have Georgetown Brewing Company, which I like their stuff.
I don't.
You don't like Manny's?
No, Manny's is awful. And it's wildly inconsistent.
That's what I love about it. You never know what you're going to get.
That's not good.
It's like a box of chocolates.
Except the box of chocolates is supposed to be one chocolate that tastes the same every time. And every time it's something different.
Exactly.
That's bad.
Uh-huh. There's Mac and Jack. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so. What else?
Well, geez. You know, now I'm having a hard time thinking of what the good ones
are.
Well,
I like Iron Horse.
Iron Horse is good.
Yeah, they do some cool stuff, and they're not in Seattle.
I probably wouldn't put them in a top five.
They get bonus points.
Silver City's up there.
Yeah, I'd put Silver City up there. And I used to just think I was a homer for Silver City, but their stuff is consistently really good.
It's solid.
Yeah.
It's solid, and it's clean. It's well-packaged.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we've given you some answers.
Yeah, get off our backs.
Yeah. What are we? Encyclopedias?
What are we? Cat Fancy? So anyway,
no, that's a brewery.
That's beer talk for this week. I think the moral of the story is read Kurt Vonnegut, guys.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not just for hipsters anymore.
Oh, boy.
We love you, JR. We do. We're just yanking your chain because we know you can handle it. You're from Philly. Buy me a Philly steak. Jesse, what's your second topic?
Well, for my second topic, I'd like to bring back fan favorite, oft requested, is it worse than a punch in the face?
Is it worse than a punch in the face?
So the origin of this was there was a news article that came out of Alaska of an adult man who was high on methamphetamines who punched a 5-year-old girl in the face and stole her bike.
I think he was on bath salts.
Oh, you're right. It could have been bath salts.
Yeah.
And what's the difference, really?
What is the difference?
the more you know, kids. This has been our court-ordered public.
Now we're officially an educational program.
Yeah.
We get the IE logo.
So I post scenarios, and then Eric answers whether or not that is worse than being punched in the face by an adult man on bath salts.
Right. And we want to thank Angela Martinez for reminding us for doing this segment.
Yeah. So this is a special edition because this is all stuff that happened to me today.
All right.
Yeah. So this is fresh. So first off, basically not getting through the night without having an REM cycle interrupted.
Uh-huh.
So Elsa has, I mean, Russell Nisha has basically learned how to scream at very high pitches.
All right.
And she's enjoying that very much all through the night.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I got through a REM cycle without being woken up, interrupted last night.
Wow.
So, worse than a punch in the face? Maybe not. Maybe.
No, I think it is.
Okay.
Sleep's important, man.
All right, so then at work, we just opened up our beer garden. So there's a bunch of people walking to it, and you walk right past my where I work,
uh-huh.
in the brewery.
Yep.
And which means, and I forgot about this lovely part of the job, which is basically all summer I'm going to have to be fielding questions from drunk guys.
Excellent.
And not just questions, comments,
mm-hmm.
because drunk guys think they're hilarious, myself included.
Right.
So this is the one I got today. I was hosing down the, sidewalk
because, oh, yeah.
you know, crap gets on there. I'm hosing it down to make it nice.
Hoser.
And it's kind of foaming up because there's wort on the ground. And a guy walks by and goes, "Oh, I thought that was the free beer. I should have grabbed a straw."
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you want to grab a straw and drink wort, which doesn't even have any alcohol in it, off the ground.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yep. You just need a pocket full of straws, dude. Say five bucks, all you can drink.
Here you go. But then I didn't get this one yet, but it'll be soon to come. Anytime a drunk guy sees you with beer on a hand truck, you're going to get the, "Oh, my truck's parked over there. You can load it up."
I think we actually did that as "Is It Worse Than a Punch in the Face" before.
Probably.
The whole bad beer joke with a keg guy.
Yeah, it's coming back. It's making another pass this year. So worse than a punch in the face?
I don't think so. I think being the drunk man's tour guide is not always the worst thing.
Okay, so the next one is...
at least they're keeping you employed.
One beer at a time.
Exactly.
That's true. They are the customer. Customer is king, right?
Yep.
So this one is basically working all day. You know, busting your hump. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the 1 second you sit down and relax is the one time all day that your boss walks by.
Uh-huh.
And that's, like, the one moment you kick your feet up. But you look bad.
Right. I guess it depends on the boss.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily worse than a punch. You know, there's a cultural tradition in Japan that if you fall asleep at your desk, it's an indication that you're working really hard.
Yeah, that I like. Okay, here's the next one.
Okay.
Driving, gonna go out to get some dinner before the podcast. Driving out there, and my muffler fell off.
Oh, that's worse than a punch in the face.
It wasn't like the whole muffler, but it was like the tailpipe.
And then it was like brrr on the ground?
Yeah, and it, the crazy thing, it fell off, and Tasha was like, did your muffler just, or did that just come off your car? I look in the rearview mirror, it's like spinning. It's like a cylinder. It's just like spinning.
Oh, it's
in
just a
circle.
A cylinder?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. That's just your tailpipe. That's not your muffler.
Yeah, but I mean, it's important.
Ish.
Yeah. So then I drive up, you know, like 20 feet, pull into a driveway, turn around, drive back to it, and it's still spinning.
All right.
It was kind of radical.
It's like that license plate in Back to the Future.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But pieces of your car falling off?
Well, that's worse than a punch in the face, but it's not only worse than a punch in the face for you. Because one time I was driving on I-5, and I was just out south of Seattle. And I was in the far left lane. And in the way it works here is that there's the far left lane, and then there's this big concrete wall that's, like, right next to you. And there's not really a shoulder. So I'm driving along in the left-hand lane, and all of a sudden I see a muffler in the middle of the road. I look to my right, and there's a car right there, so I can't swerve around it that way. I look to my left, and there's a giant concrete wall with no shoulder, so I can't swerve around it that way. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. And then I just hit the damn thing. It gets lodged under my car and makes the most god-awful noise. I can't imagine the sparks that were flying off of this thing from bystanders around me. And I'm just like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I really thought I was going to crash. And then so I just start, like, wheeling the car back and forth, like just like moving the steering wheel back and forth really quick, hoping I can shake it loose. And then it finally pops out. I don't know. It became somebody else's problem. I get off the freeway to check out my car. Car's totally fine.
Yeah.
But that was like one of the first, it was like one of the only moments in my life where I was just like, oh man, I'm going to crash now. So not only worse than a punch in the face for you, but also for the people around you. I guess Port Townsend's a little less.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because when that happened, Tasha was like, yeah, it's a good thing that didn't happen on our way back from Bellingham.
Yeah.
So
you're not getting it back if it's in the middle of the freeway.
No. So following that, you know how Port Townsend is. Small town charm.
Word.
I'm kind of on a limited time here to eat, go out, eat dinner, come back.
Right.
And the guy in front of me decides to do less than 5 miles an hour for about half a mile.
Wow. Why? Was he having a stroke?
Possibly. Oh. And it was like, I guess it didn't take me half an hour to get out from behind him. Now that I think about it.
Right.
I may be slightly exaggerating, but like I couldn't get around him because I was like going. This is the crazy part. We're going downhill.
So this guy's riding the brake.
Yeah, it's like, do you hate your brake pads?
Well, maybe his muffler just fell off.
Maybe his car's falling apart.
Right.
But seriously, it's like, you can go 100 feet, but if someone's going 5 miles an hour.
Yeah, so is it literally, are you literally 5 miles an hour or just like really slow?
No, it was literally 5 miles an hour.
Oh my God, that's like super dangerous.
He was in like this really tall van with like a thing on the back of it.
What kind of thing?
Like a bolt-on storage.
Oh, dude. That guy was going to kill you.
Yeah, probably. He was weighted down from all the corpses inside.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's so bad. First of all, it's dangerous for everyone. Like, don't be driving 5 miles an hour on any road, ever.
Yeah, not in our modern times.
No, and then second of all, screw you, man. If your car's broken, get off the road.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or just pick up your pieces and continue on your merry way.
Exactly.
And then the final one is getting overcharged for undercooked dinner.
Oh. Did you actually pay more than you were supposed to, or was it just expensive?
They charged us more than they were supposed to, but I complained and they knocked the price down. But still.
Did you get the vegetarian nachos?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good.
No vegetarian nachos.
Yeah, that's worse than a punch in the face.
All right, so there you have it.
It's like I could have just made my own food. It would have cost me less money, and it also would have been cooked.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, tales from Port Townsend.
Yeah, tales from the crypt.
Well, I'm coming up to meet you this weekend, buddy.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be good.
All right. Well, that's been worse than a punch in the face. We don't have a theme song for that yet, so that's why I sang at the beginning of that segment.
Good.
That was
worse than a punch in the face.
Oh.
Sorry.
So let's go ahead and we'll move on to our Facebook roundup. But before we do, please, everyone, go up and check baldmove.com. Not only is Mad Men Happy Hour on there, not only is The Night's Watch on there, not only is The Because Show on there, but we're on there too. And then, of course, you got back issues of Up Yours Downstairs and, of course, everything for Breaking Bad and all that stuff. Any TV need, please go to baldmove.com. Show them some love. And we'll love you right back. And please go to the baldmove.com Facebook page by just searching for Bald Move on Facebook. I want to thank some people this week. We're getting some likes on our Facebook page. We're of course on the Personal Arrogance we're on the Bald Move Facebook page, but we're also on the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. And you can go to the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. We currently are sitting at 178 likes.
And that's cool. So I got to thank Anthony Arenivas, Zane Swanson. Zane Swanson, that sounds like a good pitcher, like a pitcher name. Adam Gumbel, Marcus Raven. You guys have awesome names.
Yeah, those are some great names.
Eric Madsen, that's one of the Vikings that brought the Norwegian forest cat over.
Eric, seriously, with these cats.
So we want to thank everybody for liking us on Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, it's time for the Facebook Roundup. Each week, we post when we are recording, and then you tell us what to talk about. If it doesn't become a topic, we talk about it right here. First of all, Sean McDonald says, I would like to submit the free-to-play MMO Scarlet Blade for discussion this week. Just do a YouTube search and the comedy will write itself. I haven't done the YouTube search yet, but apparently if you want comedy, YouTube search Scarlet Blade. I'll do the YouTube search and I'll mention it on next week's cast. I promise, Sean.
I looked it up and the video I got was 20 minutes long. I was mm-hmm. I don't know.
I know. It's so tough. That's our short attention span theater these days.
It was also 2 minutes before we started recording.
Well, what are you going to do? Sean, we'll get to it. We promise. Chris Rogers says, Ethan Hawke movie, The Purge, and angry video game nerd. So that's happening?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means, Chris, but we love you anyway.
Can you clarify?
Jacob DeFore, how was the Dragon Maze event? Overall feelings about how RTR as a block, now that it's complete. I did play in Magic the Gathering Dragon Maze pre-release event this past weekend. I got my ass kicked numerous times, but I did get to drink a lot of beer. I think drafting Dragon's Maze by itself is kind of a setback because it's made to meld with the other two blocks in the set. So I'm excited to see what it's like to draft the entire Return of Ravnica block as a set where you have one booster pack from each block. So once we do that, we'll let you know how it goes. Because Dragon's Maze by itself is a little, it's kind of like all the peanut butter with no bread.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
Tony Blaise Serrano, once you guys reach 180 likes on Facebook, once again, we're at 178, so one of you can be our 180th like. And Tony Blaise Serrano says, you have to do the 180 cast where you do everything backwards or opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And Tony, we would love to do that, but unfortunately, you've heard about our pre-production schedule. It would be a little tough, but we could give it a shot.
I don't know. What would we do?
Well, we'd obviously talk about wine.
I'm already out.
We talk about a lot of baseball. I'm in. Let's do it.
Nope. You can find an opposite host.
Derek Romaine says, that's what we should do is we should just have the Because Show do our cast. Derek Romaine says, I think if there's a loser song to be sung tonight, it should be Mariah Carey's Touch My Body because it will then be stuck in everyone's head. Actually, we do have a loser song that's on the docket, but that's up to Jacob Martinez, who won the bracket and hasn't held up to his end of the bargain giving us loser karaoke. So until that happens, unfortunately, I don't know if any loser karaoke is going to happen. It's all on Jacob Martinez.
Bummer.
Bummer, man. Angela Martinez says, bring back Is It Worse Than a Punch in the Face? And we did that. Chris Baker wanted the top five Washington craft brews. We did that. Mark Griffin says, Magic Card Minute. Oh, we got to do that with Dragon's Maze.
Yeah, I don't have a booster of it yet.
Well, we'll
maybe
we'll,
next week.
Yeah, we'll fix that. We'll hopefully get to that next week. Sam Golhoman, Golmo Hamadi says, tell us how the pre-release event went. And also, have you guys tried any options on what is new to the UK, Foster's with Cloudy Lemonade? Have you tried this drink?
I've never even
it's
heard of it.
It's beer and lemonade. It's actually Mike's Hard Lemonade, which is here in Seattle, just released a version of it. I believe it's called a Shanty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had something like, well, no. Never mind. In Australia, they do stuff like that, but it's called like a Radler.
Oh, Radler.
Anyway.
Sounds like crap. Well, the first time I had one at Epic Ales down there in Soto. because I was like driving and I was like, I don't really want to have anything. I don't want to drink like a full beer. And he's like, oh, let me make you a shandy. And it's just literally lager and lemonade. And it's actually really good.
Oh.
I thought it was very refreshing. You know, summer's coming up, so I would say give it a shot if you get the chance. And then
for the chance.
Finally, Josh Perigo says, yesterday I was behind a car with a Settlers of Catan bumper sticker, a board game inspired bumper sticker. Wow, I must try this game. Yes, you must try this game. This is your intro board game.
Did its muffler fall off?
Probably.
Because that might have been me.
Yeah, you should try this game. Settlers of Catan is like the perfect intro board game. And they just released.
If you haven't played it, you should definitely play
that. Definitely play it, dude. And they just released a brand new expansion for it, which is like the largest expansion that's ever. It's like Pirates and Explorers.
Oh.
So I might want to try that out. So anyway, that's the Facebook roundup for this week. Thank you so much for writing. You can always write us an email if you don't want to hit us up on Facebook, personalarrogance@gmail.com, or you can give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. Jesse, what's your first recommendation?
I've recommended it before. It's a TV show, but I just found out that there's like 6 episodes of it on Hulu Plus.
Uh-huh.
It's called Nathan for You.
Uh-huh.
And it's that kind of a spoof on shows where, like, some guy comes and helps fix your business, almost Gordon Ramsay style.
Uh-huh.
Except all of his ideas are horrible. It's really funny. It's produced by Absolutely.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of stuff nowadays.
They're doing a lot of stuff. And he's really great at putting people in awkward situations.
Excellent.
Like, for example, one of them was, like, he went to this struggling gas station. And he said, like, I want you to sell your gas for $1.75 a gallon. And the guy's like, there's no way that would be profitable. And he's like, it would be with a mail-in rebate, not a mail-in one, though. And I tend to make it the most impossible to claim rebate ever,
uh-huh.
Where, like, you literally had to hike up a mountain and then camp there overnight and solve a series of riddles. And he actually got like 3 real-ass people to do this and film the whole thing. And their rebates were for like $12.
That's awesome.
And it was pretty amazing. And spoiler alert, by the end of the episode, he got the guy who ran the gas station to for some reason admit to drinking kids' pee.
What?
It's so weird.
What?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
This can't be real.
No, it's totally real. I swear. It's. Yeah. I mean, that's what makes it so good. If it wasn't real, it wouldn't be that good at all.
If it wasn't real, it wouldn't be that good at all.
That's my seal of approval.
Maxwell House. All right. Well, my first recommendation is it's a show. You can actually watch it on Netflix. It's an old show. It's ran its course, but we're watching through it, and that's Weeds. I'm enjoying it. It's like 20 minutes of escape and just like terrible people. So I always like things with like terrible people in them. And Weeds is a show that's just full of terrible people. And it's great. I really enjoy Kevin Nealon's character. So get it. It's on Netflix. Watch it. You have no reason not to.
Mr. Subliminal.
There you go.
So my recommendation is the Pop Quizzical Podcast episode 40 with our friend Bob Ball.
Bob Ball.
And that is... to prepare you for Star Wars Day, May 4th, may the 4th be with you.
Yeah, actually, our good buddy Brad Oman's doing a Star Wars marathon on May 4th.
Yeah, I saw that.
All day, all episodes. I think I'll be showing up 6 hours in.
Yeah, that's a good call.
6
episodes in.
Yeah, and then my final one, guess what, guys? It's warming up, unless you're in Colorado, which means it's Euro weather. Let's break out the gyros, guys, and eat some gyros.
See, okay, here's another thing. I've been watching Kitchen Nightmares, Gordon Ramsay.
Yep.
And I hate the whole, like, is it gyro? Is it hero?
Is it gyro?
Is it gyro? Gordon Ramsay calls it gyro. If it's good enough for Gordon Ramsay, it's good enough for me. I say we all start calling it gyro.
They're gyros, dude. That's like the Greek pronunciation is gyro.
I don't care. Good enough for Gordon Ramsay is a gyro. He's the top chef in the world,
according to
one of the guys on his show.
The thing that I love about calling them gyros is that then you can sing, I can't eat your gyro, baby.
Okay, this podcast is over.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Thanks for all your feedback. We appreciate it. And we'd like to remind you that wherever you go...
And whatever you do...
Please stay arrogant.